And when devotees can actually acquire a taste for chanting, that's probably the best antidote for complacency, because the nature of taste itself is that it's intoxicating. It wants more, and it drives devotees to get more of it, which requires a certain type of conduct in chanting.
Guru, what's the cause of your personal sustenance in chanting?
Explain that.
What do you strive to do to enhance the quality of your
I try to fix the challenges in my service, which really means preaching, spreading Krishna consciousness, concentrating on what Prabhupada wanted. I'm sort of going back to the first point of trying to serve the holy name as being that means for getting its mercy and being able to, his mercy and being able to enter into chanting. I don't try to do that as a means for chanting, but if I have to see what happened to the garment, if I have to see what inspires me, or what's the core thing that enthuses me to go forward in that, it's the other services that I feel I'm obliged to undertake, even risks that will give further reciprocation. Dealing with children's education, Gurukul, which isn't really so much a sannyasi's business, but because it's integral to spreading Krishna consciousness and giving shelter to devotees. I think engaging in those activities gets Srila Prabhupada's mercy and Krishna's mercy, and that means reciprocation from the holy name. And then certain periods of just absorption. Usually once a year I do just 3-day retreat where I do nothing but chant, usually 192 rounds. Holy name weekends, whenever we have them, a little opportunity to just put everything else aside and just get absorbed. I find that very encouraging. Uh-huh. That's how, yes, chanting in the association of devotees and just doing kirtan and doing nothing else but that for a couple of days, that always gives me great inspiration. Come on in.
Would you encourage the devotees to make days, to keep days in their diaries regularly to chant some extra rounds on a daily basis, perhaps?
On a daily basis or on particular?
To chant a few extra rounds regularly, just to...
Well, as we mentioned earlier, I'm a little concerned that if devotees start doing things like chanting 20 rounds a day, 25 rounds a day, that some of the other devotional practices are going to suffer. But that's something probably that they need to discuss with their mentors, spiritual masters, to see if actually the time is there. No doubt Prabhupada's terminology was a minimum of 16 rounds. He didn't expect devotees to stick to 16. He expected them to try and chant more. But if someone can do that and sustain it, then that's good. But it shouldn't be that they don't read or like that. Well, I don't have time to do an RT on the altar because I'm chanting extra rounds. So that's time management. If it can be done, by all means. The other, which I think is, even if they're doing that, in addition, is to put aside some time, some days when they just chant. Maybe try 64 rounds a day. If some can try chanting 192, it's a transformational experience. It really is. Devotees, if you just do it, you're never the same again. Here's Gopinath's suite. Even just doing it once, just chanting 192 rounds, the immediate result of that is that 16 rounds, which may have been a struggle for devotees, psychological struggle, it'll never be a struggle anymore. It's just you realize, well, that's nothing.
64 I'm imagining, but 192 I've not quite got right in my head yet. But what's it been like for you to so many rounds in?
First time I did it, I was in Mayapur, and at that time I was chanting 7.5 minute rounds, so it takes 24 hours at that rate. You have to start at midnight and the end at midnight. Although, after a few hours, you start chanting faster, provided that you're attentive. And if you prepare for it by resting, and then you go to sleep early, and then you stop during the day and you eat or something. But however you get through it, when you get through it, it's a real sense of achievement, and it really does it really relativizes certain other things like, oh boy, chanting 16 rounds is difficult. It just realizes that it's really nothing. It really is a minimum, and. And then devotees will no doubt also get a taste. I've seen devotees, brought to the brink of, well, not insanity, but because it's also an extremely purifying thing, and they couldn't do it. Their minds were at risk of losing too much to continue on doing something like that. But then that's also a good experience because it lets you know where you are. And ultimately, devotees should be able to do that. Our devotees should ultimately be able to sit down and just chant Hare Krishna all day long, whether in japa or kirtan. Kirtan's easier, of course, because then your mind's, there's music and there's devotees and you can dance and your mind's distracted. To sit down and chant japa, that requires a lot more focus and self-control. But the two help each other. Japa helps kirtan. Kirtan helps japa. It's a really wonderful experience. And if devotees do that, and that was Srila Prabhupada's idea of going to Mayapur and Vrindavan. It really wasn't about going around holy places. We did that very little. And if devotees left before Prabhupada's Bhagavatam class, he was furious. For Prabhupada, going to Mayapur and Vrindavan was about reading more and associating with devotees and chanting more and getting that experience. Of course, visiting holy places, we also did that, but it wasn't exclusive to that. And that was Srila Prabhupada's idea of us actually getting that experience of the whole. And we had 24-hour kirtan. Whenever we were in Mayapur, Prabhupada wanted us to have 24-hour kirtan. So devotees were on shifts, and we'd chant in the temple room for three-hour shifts, I believe, we're doing that. I remember doing a night shift with Kavi Chandra Maharaj. It was a steer. And then those personalities, Haridas Thakur, people who are real representatives of the Holy Name, praying to them, meditating on them. What else?
One of the meditations I wanted to encourage devotees was to perhaps find the spiritual hero, whether it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Haridas Thakur or another great acharya, and to meditate sitting at their feet and chanting. It would be four rounds, or as part of the daily meditation, to chant four rounds or six rounds, and to spend maybe four rounds sitting at the feet of Srila Prabhupada and this or their spiritual master chanting four rounds. Is that something that should be encouraged?
Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that to be freed from namaparad and to get inspiration, then one should sit with advanced Vaishnava. So whether that's done physically or it's done within the mind, it's fine. It can be either one. No. There's no objection to that.
Any final insights and thoughts you'd like to share?
No, I think much can be said, but I think it's very good and very important to do those type of courses, because that is really, Gunanara Prabhu used to always have that saying, he said, I judge a man by his japa. And that's what it really comes down to, is that you know a Vaishnava by how he chants Hare Krishna, how much taste he has for chanting japa, doing kirtan. And that's the thermometer. Everything else doesn't count. What he looks like, or what his, perhaps he may have some other habits, and whether he does big on Sankirtan, or doesn't do big on Sankirtan, or he's a big collector, he achieves big things or little things. Those are all external. The real thing is, how much taste does he have for chanting? And that's the wealth of a devotee, his taste for chanting, which needs to be very much protected and cultivated, needs to be protected from offenses, and it needs to be cultivated, fed, and these type of programs are good for feeding that. I was thinking that if at some time I'm geographically close, I'd want to try one of those japa retreats myself, because no doubt it's pushti, it nurtures one's own taste, and you always learn other things from Vaishnavas, which is important.
Pretty much finally, do you have a particular japa project right now that you're working on?
Project?
A personal goal or a personal challenge that you're focusing on a certain aspect of your japa duty, reassessing regularly?
Some things about japa devotees won't talk. Some things are personal, and some things are public or speakable. And then that's the other aspect of japa, is of course with spiritual master or some mentors and devotees may really speak or reveal everything, but there's going to be some things that they shouldn't talk about. So Narottam Das Thakur says, Rakurango, Ridai Bahidu. It says keep your private things within. So there are some things about japa that devotees shouldn't speak about. If they do speak about it, actually their taste will go down. And there are some things they should speak about in order to increase and develop their taste. Thank you.